Brent Lyons.
We're out in front of the studios of WTTW.
Correct. It's a window to the world communications. This is a, it's been a union shop with IBW Local 1220. I'm a business rep with the local. We've had agreements with the company since 1955. That was our first contract, going back almost 70 years. And this is the first time we've ever had a work stoppage in front of the station before. So it's uncharted waters for us as much for them. But, you know, we're dedicated to the cause, and our group is out here, and it's a very motivated group, and they're not willing to just give up their jurisdiction for anything. That this is a cause that the entire group is dedicated to, and they're looking for the future of this bargaining unit as well.
What brought you to this point where you're on strike?
So the history that brings us here, it's a couple of tiers that have gotten us to this point. There's a new CEO who's been in with the company since about 2018, and there's been some changes internally since that point with management and also with legal counsel. There's been a promotion with the news director, is a producer who's taken over that position now. And in 2019, the company started trying to take bites of our jurisdiction that they didn't have. We have a side letter in our agreement that allows the company to be able to take footage from the internet and from other non-union sources under certain circumstances. They have to meet certain exceptions in order to get that. Company looked at that language, which was about 10 years old, and new management saw it and thought that they could start trying to bend it here or there, or take advantage of this and that. And they tried four different times since 2018 to take bites of that apple. We went to arbitration all four times, and the union was able to prevail in all four cases with four different arbitrators. So now we're at the collective bargaining table with the same company, and they're asking for all these things that they wanted through all these arbitrations they weren't able to get, and they have not come off their demands. And it's just the gravity of what they're asking for across the table just simply cannot be matched with any proposal that they're willing to give us back as a concession. The amount of ask and the amount of just gutting of the jurisdiction, I guess would be the best word to use.
Can you explain to listeners what jurisdiction means?
Sure. So the jurisdiction is the work that the bargaining unit will perform, and it's protected by our collective bargaining agreement. So then that way nobody else can come in and take the work of the bargaining unit member. If something needs to be done and it's spelled out specifically that my jurisdiction covers this function or maintenance of this machine, nobody else can come in and take that work from me. That belongs to me as an engineer or a camera operator, or you know, the various titles we have inside of the station. So it's very important to keep your jurisdiction, because if you start giving that away, now the company can start bringing in non-union members to start doing union jobs, and that's exactly what you don't want. We've seen some attrition, unfortunately, here too with the unit over the last handful of years. Simply, they're just not filling staff positions that used to be union. You know, we had over 30 members of the bargaining unit as many as 5 years ago, and now we're down to about 23. So they're just letting the unit shrink. They're trying to take our jurisdiction. It's union busting is really what it is.
And do you see this as part of a larger effort within the management labor? Do you see this part of a class war?
Yeah, I think what we're seeing right now is that this station, perhaps, maybe the best way to put it would be, this station thinks that they're a little bit larger than they are. And what I mean by that is, even here in Chicago, in terms of the TV stations we have here in the city, there's a lot of news operations. This is not a news operation. Here at WTTW, they do 1 hour programming a day called Chicago Tonight. It's every night at 7 o'clock, and it's a local affairs program is really what it is.
Right.
They don't preempt programming to bring you live breaking news of things going on in the Chicagoland area, like a CBS, an ABC, an NBC, WGN, or Fox would even do, but they want those same allowances that other places have without actually having the same responsibilities and outfit that those other stations do, simply because somebody else has it, we want it too. And the unit struggled to, and we've asked them multiple times across the table, we've been bargaining since May of 2021, can you show us some times when we haven't been able to cover the news and do the things that you wanted to do because of these limitations? And they haven't been able to provide concrete examples. They simply just want a shiny new toy because somebody else has a shiny new toy, but they don't have anywhere near the responsibilities that any of those other stations do.
Well, what would warrant the financial saving they're working towards under the guise that they can't get access to all the information they need.
Sure, and I'll give you just 1 second while the truck goes by. We've had a ton of people driving by and honking horns too, which is great support. Yeah. We thank the community for doing that. So yeah, to kind of answer your question, a lot of what the savings are, I think it's simply that they just think the union is too expensive and we are too restrictive and we're trying to keep them from doing what it is they want to do. And you kind of touched on it a little bit. They want to be able to send a producer out to do the same kind of work. They want to be able to have members of the public, and that's been a couple of our arbitrations, the definition of the term public. Yeah. Well, why do we have to send a union photographer to go cover a mayoral press conference when it's available on their website? Why don't we just take it from there and whatever they happen to put up online? Yeah, that's good enough for us, and we won't send a reporter or anybody to go cover it. You know, there's a way to do the news cheaply, and then there's a way to do the news properly. And, you know, don't get it the wrong impression. This is a corporation. You know, they do have a bottom line. They do have shareholders, a board of trustees. They, you know, they're very much interested in getting a profit.
Who are the shareholders? I thought this was a public television.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was a misquote. It is. But they have a board of trustees.
It masquerades as a public television.
Correct,
station.
Yes. But it's still very much a company, you know.
I don't know if you would agree that, by my assessment, its shareholders are the major corporations and financial institutions in this town that use it as a way of promoting a positive image about what they do, when what they do is undermine middle-class living standards in order to keep bumping up their profits.
Yeah, and the programming that WTTW puts on is very unique. Nobody else in the city does the kind of programming they do. And I mentioned a little bit ago, local affair programming is what they do. That if you have candidates for aldermen and alderwomen that might not get the press time on a WGN or some kind of station like that, they'll come over here and they'll be able to sit down and do a in-person discussion. You know, a lot of our, even Mayor Lightfoot's been here before. I believe Governor Pritzker's been here before, where they have the opportunity to sit down and have roundtable discussions about some of the biggest issues going on. You won't get that kind of coverage anywhere else. And we understand that the company's trying to save, you know, money, and they're trying to run their business as well, but we're not going to allow them to do that while getting us out of the picture. We still want to be here to continue bringing the great programming that the IBW is bringing. It's high quality programming. We still want to be a part of that. They're trying to show us the door and take that jurisdiction from us, and that's where the rub's coming.
They have a new CEO.
Correct, a new CEO and president.
Is she overpaid?
She is compensated very well for what a lot of the bargaining unit members would say is not worth the amount of work and face time she's putting here in the station.
What about the rest of the management, the program director and the vice president and extra people at the expense of...
Yeah, the working class, I would agree. And, you know, there's been a lot of turnover here, even in management in the last couple of years. There's been a news director who was shown the door not too long ago for his behavior. They've brought back out of retirement a director of technology that just replaced a director of technology who was shown out of the building. So it's, you know, there's been a lot of turnover. And it all comes back to the hiring of this CEO. It seems that every decision that she's made has had a trickle-down effect somehow to help get us to where we are today, from the people she's brought in to the law firm and the council that's representing the station in collective bargaining and in all of our arbitrations. You know, it all comes back to one person making these decisions, and that's really what's gotten us to this point today, that we are at our breaking point. This unit is worried about the future of the unit. No one person is on this line right now thinking about their paycheck or their bottom line. They're doing this because it's important to make sure that when they pass off the baton to the next group of workers coming in here, that those jobs will remain union jobs and that we're not giving away our jurisdiction and letting this unit shrink for nothing.
Or the health of this public asset.
Absolutely.
Could easily be privatized by the people who run it now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that is a trend with public assets.
Yes.
And in many cases, what our public airwaves have been operated in the interests of private capital, private gain, as opposed to public interests.
Right.
You see that in the way the environment is reported or misreported. Mm-hmm. You see it in the lack of political discussion of alternative points of view, or the discussions about the war in the Ukraine and whether or not why we're not hearing peace activists giving their points of view about what's going on.
Yeah, and you talk about, you know, the integrity of stations, and going back just a couple of years to when this pandemic began, these are men and women who helped bring the news to Chicago every single night. Important information, life-saving information about what's going on with this disease, and they didn't have the option. You know, these are essential workers. They didn't have the option of sitting in their ivory towers and being on Zoom calls all day and talking to their board of trustees to make these decisions here and there. These are the people that are coming into the station every single day to make sure this program is getting on the air. They're going out in the field to capture all this important information. They're talking to the Dr. Arwadis, the important players in the Chicagoland area, bringing all this information to the public as a public service for the communities they live, and they've sworn to try and help. And that's what they were doing throughout the last couple of years. Yeah, the last administration's taught us anything. It's that journalistic integrity is more important now than it ever has been before. And then add on to that, you've got a pandemic where misinformation is being spread, unfortunately, way too easily and way too rapidly. And our members of this bargaining unit wanted to make sure that they were coming in to get the news correctly to the public here in Chicago. They understand that this is a public broadcasting station, and they have a duty and an obligation to the Chicagoland area, and they wanted to inform and to serve their communities to make sure that the right information was going out accurately and timely to help save lives.
I understand that station announced that they were trying to void the entire contract.
So the decision that helped get us to that point was the fourth and final arbitration we had, which came in about a week before bargaining started in early May of 2021. We started bargaining, I believe it was on May 7th, and overnight, as the 7th became the 8th at about 4 o'clock in the morning, their legal counsel, after bargaining had already started and we had met at the table for the first session, gave their intent to terminate the entire agreement. And that is what helped to set the table for this specific bargaining, that out of the gate, after we see their list of proposals, and anybody who's ever worked a collective bargaining table knows that where you start is so far removed from where you're going to finish on both sides. There's going to be a lot of dance moves in between from where your initial proposals are to what actually gets passed across the table and ratified. But we knew that the requests were so steep out of the gate, and then they didn't really do us any favors by wanting to terminate the agreement right after that.
So that means get rid of the union.
We would have to negotiate a brand new agreement from scratch. They would want us to have to go back to the table and rewrite the entire book, from everything from jurisdiction to the scope to the classifications. We would have to go back and redo all that language, and it really serves neither us nor them any good to do.
Has the union asked other unions to honor your picket line? Is UPS, for instance, or the Teamsters, are they refusing to deliver here?
Yes, and it's been incredible. We've seen a lot of support from not only other IBW locals, like when we did our media day, 176 from Joliet, 134 from Chicago, Local 15, Local 21. These are all members of ours in labor. Came out and showed great solidarity with us on that media day. We've seen Teamsters not want to go into the building to pick up the trash, because they simply won't cross a picket line. We've reached out to the other unions that are inside the building, and they're honoring our picket line to the best of their ability. Some of them do have no sympathy strike clauses, and we understand that, but as long as they're not taking any IBW jobs during that time, we certainly understand that, you know, there's only so much that they can do contractually as well. But any union that's showing us any kind of sympathy, we certainly appreciate it, and it will not be forgotten. We will repay it back however we can, because as organized labor, we are the strongest when we are all together. This isn't just an IBW strike. This is a union strike. And if, you know, you're a union member in a union town like Chicago, you know, this is a band of brothers that will stand tall together.
Are negotiations underway, and do you have some sense of how long this may play out? The effect already is on WTTW's programming.
Sure. So, are we negotiating with them right now? Unfortunately, the answer is no. We were negotiating with the company on Wednesday, the 16th of March. That's when the strike was called later that night. We did take an agreement to our membership the previous weekend and asked them to take a look at it and give their honest opinions about whether or not this was something that they could tolerate and what it would be palatable to work with for the unit. They voiced us back overwhelmingly saying, no, these are not acceptable terms. So we went back to the company on the 16th. And we told them that here are the dozen or so sticking points that the members are really uncomfortable with. Let's collectively bargain. Let's get back to the table. Let's start working these things out. Maybe some of them we can accept. Maybe some of them they can withdraw. Maybe some of them we put fences around. But let's make this work for everybody. And they held to their positions. They just simply aren't interested in collective bargaining anymore. They want what it is that they want. And so talks were shut down early on the 16th. And unfortunately, that was the night that we had to pull the trigger and call for the strike. And since that time, the company has come out on record saying that they are willing to meet with us across the table, that we haven't reached out to them. That's not how this works. The company comes to us and lets us know, all right, it's time to start bargaining, that they need to actually come to us and say, all right, we are willing to make some moves on some of these proposals. We need to get back to the table and get this agreement. And our unit is standing strong out here, and we'll be out here as long as we need to be. It's in nobody's best interest that this strike goes long. We want to meet them at the table. We are ready to continue collective bargaining. We were ready to do it on the 16th before the strike was called, and we hope that one of these days they're going to wake up and say the same thing back to us, but we just simply haven't heard it yet.
And what hours are you out here?
We're out here every morning around 8 o'clock roughly through the end of when Chicago Tonight will go off the air, so about 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. So about 12 hours a day, Monday through Friday, and then we've got folks out here over the weekend as well. You know, they're standing on this picket line incredibly strong, and I'm so proud to see them do this, and it's such an inspiring movement for labor to see a group be able to withstand a company like this the way they are.
If people want to come by and honk their horns or stand by here and hold a picket sign, are they welcome?
They are more than welcome. We've had tons of, especially in the local community here on 5400 North St. Louis, a ton of the neighborhood has come over already and expressed sympathy with the men and women standing on the line. We've had an incredible amount of local elected officials come over, various aldermen and alderwomen, reps from the House as well, from the state. Mayor Lightfoot came out and expressed her solidarity with the unit as well. You know, anyone who's, whether you're a part of organized labor or not, we certainly appreciate it, and it lets the men and women of this bargaining unit know that what they're doing is not just it's not just an act. There are consequences to what it is that they're doing, and that the community appreciates the sacrifices that they made during the pandemic to continue bringing them the award-winning programming that WDTW has brought them, and we want to continue bringing to the public as well.
And have you had international support?
International support from our international, you mean like...
From broadcasters, from news organizations, from people who are concerned about the dismal state of media access and the opportunity for alternative voices and community issues to be aired in public so that there is a dialogue that can influence the outcome of political decisions, which affect everybody's lives.
Sure. Internationally, we haven't had that kind of recognition yet. We've had an incredible amount of recognition here locally, though, in the Chicagoland area with our various sister locals in the IBW, with the other organizations I had mentioned earlier, from the Chicago Federation of Labor. They've been terrific. We're so happy to be members of the CFL here in Chicago. Don Villar, Bob Ryder, their teams have been wonderful allies of us, helping to get our message across. All of our local officials who have been out here to help us. We've seen so much support here in the city locally that I think that's really what's helping to keep this bargaining unit strong.
Okay. Say your name again, please. Let's spell it.
Brett Lyons, BRETTLYONS. And I'm a business representative with IBEW Local 1220.